And welcome to Music for Life, where we educate you to purposefully self-medicate with music to build mental fitness that powers your potential. I am Judith Pinkerton, a licensed music therapist and founder of Music for Life. I am so glad you decided to join us as we explore together this month's national theme of mental health awareness. We'll find music's capability of reducing unrelenting stress and anxiety, interviewing a board-certified music therapist from the Western region of the United States of America. As we tackle anxiety problems that can destroy mental fitness, I've invited an expert on our show today who deals daily with anxiety of clients and interns, as well as her own anxiety when she was diagnosed with cancer. Our special guest today is Dr. Barbara Royer, a board-certified music therapist who founded both for-profit and non-profit music therapy businesses, which are now flourishing in San Diego, California. Barbara, welcome to Music for Life.
It's great to be here, Judith.
We are so blessed that you were able to find 30 minutes out of your busy schedule. I know you're getting on an airplane tomorrow morning, yet to go to another state to continue to expand what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always a crazy time, but that's how we live, right? Whether we should
we'll
or shouldn't,
this,
but yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's not shoot on each other, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh, you have such an interesting job working with music therapy undergraduate students from all over the country who must complete their six-month full-time internship in order to graduate with their music therapy bachelor degree and then sit the National Certification Board to become that ultimate board-certified music therapist. How many are you at now? You've graduated how many?
We've graduated. We're on intern 139. And,
oh, my gosh.
So that means that four interns are in place right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So probably graduated 135.
This is amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
And I know with a recent posting by one of your interns, it really spoke to how the Music for Life music medicine protocol impacts them. Because you've been trained in a specialized training for Music for Life music medicine practitioner, you found it to be helpful in supporting your interns. What is that like? What do you do?
Well, I think, you know, as music therapists, we're so used to using live music, you know, the music we create with the clients and their engagement, that the Music for Life program really teaches us also how to look at the music we listen to, the recorded music. And we know that most consumers, that's how they connect to music, is by what they listen to. And so teaching the interns how to think about the music they use and how they can use it for their own well-being and personal development while they're in the internship. But I think as a society tend to listen to music but don't really think about how it affects our body. And then on top of that, the words, if there's lyrics to a song, we may or may not listen to or think about what the words really mean. And so that was a huge aha for, is a huge aha for my interns.
Yeah, and just the classification system itself, it takes you down a different path of not just looking at the music from a genre or a music style perspective, but or the artist and the performing group. But more from a mood perspective so that you engage differently with your thought process about how music works with you, how the music uses you and how you use the music.
Yeah, and that's the case. Either we use the music or the music uses us.
Yeah, you know? And we may or may not be aware of either of those.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, so it's a great way to have interns, you know, upcoming music therapists, think about the music in a different way.
And I know that you have created a special music-centered wellness program over at Scripps that you've been doing for, I don't know, what, 15 years now?
Yeah, time really flies, yeah. Yeah, we had the opportunity to develop a program for the Integrative Center. And it used to be focused on just heart health, and now it's just overall lifestyle change. and we've had a music-centered wellness component that we've developed over the years, and we have fine-tuned it down to 12 session plans, so to speak. And it's a way for the participants, who are all outpatients, to hopefully find out of the 12 sessions that they attend some way that they can use music in their life that makes sense. You know, it's one thing to go to a class, but it's another thing to put it into practice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So on the for our listeners, what I've done is put a link to this music-centered wellness program on the, our blog. So when you look at the links on the our blog talk radio site, it takes you to the Music for Life blog where the music-centered wellness course is. Now, is this a course that anybody could take? Or, you know, is it just meant for music therapists?
Well, I think it could be a course that anybody can take. I've structured it so that there's goals and objectives and that kind of thing that music therapists would use in their settings. But in terms of the content, I think anybody could read that if they wanted to look at, okay, this is what I can do for my own well-being. You know, I don't have it necessarily structured for the lay public, but I think anybody interested in their own lifestyle change could take this and get some value out of it.
Yeah, because there's just so many fabulous perspectives that you do with this little toolbox.
Yeah, it's everything from active music making, such as drumming exercises, to relaxation, to imagery, to feature the Music for Life, the ME program, and then also talk about gratitude and the importance of that, and a playlist for that, as well as toning, humming, toning, you know, and the importance of breath.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I encourage our listeners to look at that, because you may find a section in there where you go, oh, I really wanted to know more about that or how to practice that myself. So this course is not about teaching you to become a music therapist. This course is about self-help.
Yes.
if you choose to use it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not doing this on others, but doing this for your own personal benefit. So as you have been really supporting cancer patients, you know, for a very long time, I'll never forget the moment that you decided to call me and tell me that you were diagnosed with cancer. And I just remember how that made me feel.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine how it made you feel.
Well, you know, I was sort of, and this was melanoma, and I think it was like second stage or something. So I just sort of was oblivious to how serious it could be, you know, not knowing what stage it was at and having to go through the surgery, sort of was numb at first. But somehow deep down, I felt that it would be okay. But then you have the sit and wait game, and it's the waiting for the results and the outcomes that can play a head trip on you.
Yes, yeah. So when we look at the topic of the show being music for anxiety, you know, it's as a cancer patient, and I can now claim that same status with you with recent diagnosis of breast cancer and currently going through treatment, and I can actually say I'm cancer-free and did not require chemo. I'm very grateful for that. But I understand the overwhelming anxiety that plays into what you call the waiting game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, okay, it seems like every step leads to a next step, and you don't know what that next step is. It could be a dramatic left or right-hand turn that would drastically, emphatically impact you and your loved ones and
mm-hmm.
work
and you
know,
think,
the ripple effect.
Yeah, and you think you'll be okay, I mean, in terms of, oh, I can handle this, there's just, sometimes this can get overwhelming. You know, and even if you know strategies for relaxation and that type of thing, sometimes when you're in that position, at first you may not practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you think, oh, yeah, I should do this. I found that after you get over the initial shock, you know, that I did really start looking to music in a completely different way for support.
So in terms of significant anxiety that can come from a major illness or just, you know, life experiences, there's a couple different ways to look at how to use music. And you shared with us one of the songs that you love, which is Johann Pachelbel's Canon in D. And it's there's so many versions of Pachelbel's Canon when you go on YouTube. So I've got a link from the Blog Talk Music, the Music for Life blog, to go to it. The tempo can be a little bit faster or it can be a little bit slower. So it really depends on, you know, what really resonates with you in the moment. And it can change. You know, tomorrow you could feel like, oh, I need to hear this a little bit faster, you know. But so I don't know what tempo marking works for you the best. But the Pachelbel's Canon in D is meant to be relaxing, right, for you?
Oh, yeah.
And when you're so conditioned to a piece of music, having heard it a lot, it's almost like as soon as you hear the first few notes, your body could possibly shift, you know, just tuning into it. Is that what happens for you? Or just sometimes it takes a while for you to actually be able to calm down?
I think that particular piece, I also used it a lot when I first started speaking. You know, especially in my role way back as president of our association, and I would just get so nervous, and so I would put that piece on, you know, as I was setting up for the presentation, and I did get to the point where it just conditioned my body to relax. I mean, I can now hear just the first few notes and can take that deep breath. It worked for me.
Now, I know there were two other pieces of music that we'll post also on the Music for Life blog, and it was Healing Waters, and I'll put that on. So it's also another soothing piece, right?
Yes.
And then the other one was Karen Drucker's piece called
I Am So Blessed.
Yeah.
And I just think
and it's another
that,
soothing piece.
Yeah. It's soothing, but it also, that particular piece, I just, you know, as once I had the surgery and was going through the healing process, I couldn't hear that piece enough. And it was just about gratitude, about, you know, okay, you know, I'm getting through this. And then you really think about all the things. It's about gratefulness and gratitude and letting it go, you know, to a higher power.
Yes. And what's interesting to me, you and I talked a little bit about another perspective that is strongly recommended for cancer patients is having that fighting mentality, that we can beat this, that you have to have this warrior perspective, that you're going to, this thing that's inside of you. And I must say that at the very beginning, within the first couple of days when I found out for myself that I had breast cancer, that I wanted to hear my very close family members say that they didn't want me to die, that they wanted me to stay around. And when and they know my mindset so well that they immediately went to this positive, oh, don't worry about this, Mom, you're going to beat this, you're going to have, everything's fine, you know. And it wasn't matching what I wanted from them, so I found myself getting more and more pissed off with them because they weren't going on with, but we don't want you to die. So I found that it was yet another friend that was close by and with me at the time who said exactly what I needed to hear. That, you know, we really do want you to stay, you know, because I was starting to get really mad going, well, F it, you know, I'm just going to up and die. I don't feel like going through all the, you know, whatever. And so I found myself within hours going through this roller coaster of emotions of, you know, oh my God, what does this mean, right? And finally coming to the realization that I don't want to fight my body, you know, I want to surrender. I want to not surrender and be okay with dying, although you do have to do that because you never know, right? but it's that process of trying to keep yourself in an optimal, peaceful state, so that the healing can occur. What was that? What it was like for you, or did you have a different journey?
Well, I'm trying to remember. It's been like 5 years ago. So
I think it was longer. I think it was like seven, even. So I know it's like
it
out of sight, out of mind now.
It was 2009, 6 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, I think sometimes it's just. You struggle with that, but you also kind of have to express yourself, you know, and allow yourself to go through. You have to go through all these different feelings, and know that it's okay to be, you know, angry, and then also to be calm. But eventually, you have to be able to let go, you know, and let the healing process begin.
So then, in your choices for music, it was truly the soothing music that supported you being able to achieve that state of acceptance or of peace that supported you with the healing part, because you went through the journey pretty quickly yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was a period of it went really fast because they scheduled me quickly. Once they they found out it was, you know, it was because I was saved by a pathologist who resent the slide back because there was something about it, you know, that didn't look right to him. And so at first they thought it was okay. But so that period of time, I was 3 to 4 weeks at the most. So, you know, from being having it, you know, from the doctor's visit to the time I had the surgery, and then finding out whether they got it all, you know, with the surgery, was about a 4 week period.
Okay.
So really, you know, when you look at the scope of what, you know, some cancer patients go through, that's little time. You know, and so there, I really was grateful and lucky in that way. Because,
mine,
you know,
also followed that short time period too, and I, you know, when you go in for, did you have to go in for radiation?
No.
You didn't have to do anything after that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in my radiation treatments, you know, I have other people there, women, that are going through treatments as well, and. You can just tell that they've been in the process a long time. And so I'm so grateful that it's been as short as it has been. I've noticed with music that sometimes soothing music doesn't work off the bat.
Yeah, sometimes you have to let go with the music that's a little bit maybe more unsettling so that you can express yourself.
Exactly. Get the anxiety expressed out, and then replace it with that soothing music. And I find that sometimes that works better if the soothing music doesn't immediately soothe me down. It's like, you know what, I don't have time for this. I just need to do this mood sequence real quick. So for our listeners, we talk about it on the Music for Life blog of the Music Medicine Boot Camp, where you can learn how to do this yourself as well. So it's just paying attention to where you're at in the process and knowing when it's working for you and what other tools you've got that can make it work better if, you know, choice A doesn't work, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's one thing to have anxiety, depression, you know, have all of these kinds of emotions, but it's best to, you know, it's like a pain. You know, if you can't reset the pain, then it gets worse. And, you know, like the state theory where you just, if you can find something that can interrupt the pain cycle, then, you know, a person can start healing. And I think if you can't get out of that state of fear, anxiety, depression, you just kind of go deeper than, you know, you go deeper in that instead of, you know, moving more towards wellness. And I'm talking about mental health, wellness.
Right. Well, and there's just so many kinds of pains that are listed in Dorland's medical dictionary, where psychasthenia and psychalgia pains are listed, but they're actually not physical pains, although they can impact you physically. But they're more about mental conflict, emotional conflict, distress, all of that, and labeled pain. So emotional pain can create physical pains and can exacerbate healing processes. So it's how you are able to mitigate and significantly reduce that emotional pain that can support your life differently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because usually if you can find improvement in your emotional stress, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, usually that'll help also with your overall, you know, well-being if you have physical pain or other discomfort.
Mm-hmm. So in the two companies that you have, Barbara, you've got Resounding Joy, mm-hmm. which uses therapeutic and recreational music programs to improve well-being, not only for individuals, but also communities. Mm-hmm. And so it's through Resounding Joy that you also do a lot of work with veterans, too, because you're really right in the middle of several military branches, right?
Right, yes. We run our military program through Resounding Joy. And so we work with men and women, you know, that have traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress and many other mental health issues. And we're finding mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of our men and women, you know, also have, you know, other mental health issues, whether it's, you know, schizophrenia, depression, you know, bipolar kinds of things going on.
Wow. So there's that program, which is actually music therapy. Do you do any recreational? So I want listeners also to be very clear about what's looked at as a recreational music program as versus a music therapy program. Do you do any recreational programs for the military as well?
Yeah. I mean, you know, our Semper Sound band is mm-hmm. an outgrowth of the music therapy sessions that we do, and so we like to look at that, and that's when, you know, men and women, then when they feel that they can perform, you know, then they can be a part of this band, and it's very, it's like a recreational outlet for them. And then we mm-hmm. also do family kinds of events, like family drum circles, family music making kinds of things where, you know, the families can get together. And it's not necessarily music therapy with specific goals, but it's more a recreational outlet for people to socialize and get together.
Right. So I know you've amassed quite a volunteer force that can help at some level with
right.
that. So I know you're really careful to distinguish, you know, what a volunteer can do versus what one of your staff music therapists needs to do and
yeah.
how they kind of partner together. Can you clarify that a little bit for us?
Yeah, we call our volunteers joy givers, and they're the adult joy givers are over 18 years old, and our volunteer program is really geared more towards working with our seniors as part of our mindful music program, where we teach volunteers how to use supportive music and sometimes recreational, where they have larger groups, but a lot of that is one-on-one. When they visit someone who is homebound or shut in, and that typically is in a skilled nursing kind of facility, and the joy givers are trained just to be really good listeners, and they may not even be musicians, but they bring a listening ear and that human contact to that person, whereas a music therapist would come in and work towards a treatment goal if we had a music therapist in that facility. And then we also have junior joy givers that are 8 to 18, and we have them work in a variety of older adult settings where they work with maybe a music therapist and bring a recreational group interactive kind of experience to the seniors that reside in a facility.
Okay. So it's important, if especially if you live in the San Diego area and you're looking for, you know, a greater outlet to connect with people in a meaningful way, absolutely connect with Barbara over at Resounding Joy and see how you can get involved over there. And I know you'll always accept donations, right, because it's a nonprofit.
Oh, absolutely.
So any,
nonprofit.
Anybody interested in that, too,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, and so, you know, we to expand on that, one quick step is that there are facilities where we have our junior joy givers, and music therapists, different programs within one agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they all meet different needs.
What a comprehensive way to do it. You know,
yeah,
so
because,
that,
you know, there's times when you want recreational outlets, and there are times when you really do need to bring, you know, that therapy in to work towards specific goals.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in looking back across your lifescape and knowing everything that you know, what would you like to impress upon our world before you leave it?
I've never had anybody ever ask that question. I would say, and this is a reminder for myself too, be present to the moment and not try to worry about tomorrow, think about yesterday, but just trying to really embrace the moment that you have. And I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what I have to always remind myself about, so that you can enjoy what, you know, where you're at.
Yeah. It's so easy to not be present because you might be worried about the future or the past. Again, anxiety taking over, right?
Yes, yeah. And and so I'm not totally guilt-free of this. It's just that's my mantra. You know, be present and mm-hmm. enjoy the moment and the people that you're around, because, you know, people come and go and life can change for any one of us in an instant.
Yeah. Yes, as we both have discovered with
yeah.
major illnesses that have introduced themselves to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am so grateful that you've been able to spend this time with us, Barbara. I wish you the best on your journey tomorrow to Georgia to experience yet more of your lifescape. Have a beautiful rest of the evening. And I want our listeners to know that you've been listening to Music for Life with Judith Pinkerton, where we support you building mental fitness to power your potential. To connect with us before the next show, go to our website at www.musicforlife.us for more information. It is my sincere mission to have inspired you with life skills featuring music medicine for health and today's special guest, Dr. Barbara Royer. Till we meet again, notice how you purposefully self-medicate with music to build your mental fitness that powers your potential.
Judith.
Thank you.